Blackhawks Live.
Fire, score!
Let's go, Blackhawks!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, time to talk hockey.
Very much looking forward to this Blackhawks season. New coach, Jeff Blasio, he has not been taking it easy on them. Blasio told the players, this won't be a normal training camp. I don't want this to come across as disrespectful. It's the first time in a long time that the Blackhawks have had a legit NHL head coaching staff from top to bottom.
Facts are facts.
It's time for Blackhawks Live.
It's time!
Are you sure?
It's time!
Sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Remiliotis here, and I am in Florida, sitting in my hotel room, and I do not see Jack Heinrich. Usually I'm seeing him through we're together in the same room. Jack, are you with me? I miss your face, man.
I miss you too. I'm here. Did sports this afternoon, ran over here, and I'm ready for hockey. I was texting you before the show. I'm ready for hockey.
You've definitely had a long day. I was just listening to your sports cast at the top and the bottom of the last hour, and I hope your voice is still up for one more show. Actually, I think you have two more shows, don't you?
Yeah, Landecker after. We'll be all right. We'll see how it goes tomorrow, but we'll be good.
you're a trooper. Well, Jack and I are we're getting ready for the season opener tomorrow in Florida against the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, which, by the way, I was seeing this. Their ring ceremony is currently going on. So they're all getting their second rings in their as many years. And then tomorrow will, of course, be the banner-raising ceremony. So looking forward to that. Also got to plug this. Earlier today during practice, I spoke with Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson. We had a really nice conversation. Last year, our first Blackhawks live show, at least I think that was my first Blackhawks live show, we had Kyle on to kind of just give us a little season preview going into this year. So we thought we'd get Kyle back on to talk about the expectations this season, a lot of the growth from the younger players and Bedard and Nazar, Renzel. And so stay tuned for that. That's going to come up in the second segment. But let's get to the finalization of the opening night roster for the Blackhawks. And Jack, we have to pat ourselves on the back a little bit here, because last week, we pretty much nailed what the 23-man roster was going to be. However, there has been an injury or two that has prevented the original 23-man roster from taking fruition. We'll get to that in a little bit, but let's get to the forwards really quick. I was looking at the lines today at practice. Ryan Donato, Connor Bedard, Andre Burakovsky is the first line, which has been the first line all of training camp. Teravainen, Nazar, Bertuzzi is the second line. And then the third line was supposed to be Slagert, Dickinson, and Mikheyev, but Slagert unfortunately was hurt in the preseason finale. I think it was like the first shift in the third period on Saturday. He did not return. Originally it was supposed to be day-to-day injury with the lower body injury, but unfortunately he is not on this trip, and so he's been placed on injured reserve. Likely he won't play in either of the two games this trip. I'm assuming that's going to rule him out for the home opener on Saturday, because Friday is a team off day. So that's unfortunate. Colton Dock is going to slide into his third line position. And then Nick Foligno and Sam Lafferty are on the fourth line. And it was Ryan Green that got called up, and he will slot into that fourth line center position. Lucas Reichel is on the outside looking in. And then on defense, it's Matt Grizzlick and Sam Renzel, Wyatt Kaiser and Artem Levchinov, Ethan Del Mastro and Connor Murphy. And the two extra defensemen are Louis Crevier and Alex Vlasic. Vlasic, by the way, it was like 9 days ago, or it was 8 days ago, he suffered a cut to his like ankle area, and took a skate blade, a little bit of a scary injury, but fortunately he was on the ice for practice today, but it's unlikely that he's going to play in tomorrow's season opener against the Florida Panthers. So that's how the defensemen round out. And then, of course, backstopping the two, or for Chicago, are Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom. So kind of what we predicted in the last show, Jack, if Slagert didn't get hurt, he would be in that role, and we thought that the Hawks would carry eight defensemen, and that's ended up what happened.
Yeah, and they signed Matt Grizzlick yesterday. It seemed like it was kind of trending that way with the injuries. And like we said last week, it just makes sense to have that veteran guy. And I think I saw he was talking, I think it might have been to Ben Pope or just after one of the games, and he's just like, I can be here to help move along some of these young defensemen. So it seems like he's open to that mentoring role, and now he's going to have to play on that second pairing, like you said, with Alex Vlasic out for at least, or seemingly out for this first game, and we'll see about what happens Thursday. But it's always fun when you get like this first roster, and I know Jeff Blashill, but he was talking, I think it was after the game Friday when I was there, and they're asking him about the opening night roster, and he's just like, yeah, like it is really just one day out of the year, even though it is fun to like be on the graphic, you're going down to the team, you're a part of all the ceremonies, but there's a lot of, I think his message to a lot of the guys that didn't make the team is you look at like what Frank Nazar did last year. He didn't make the team out of camp. He went down to Rockford, dominated, and then came and helped the team. So this won't be the final roster. I'm sure we're going to see a wave of young guys coming up soon, but it is an interesting group to start the year, and a big test with Florida tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it should be a reminder. It's, you know, that I think Jeff's quote was obviously a big deal is made of the opening night roster of like, who's going to be the 23 guys that make it up. But Jeff Blashill was saying before we left to Florida to the media, he was saying, it's not like Pee Wee hockey where it's like you either make the team or you don't, right, and that's it. It's like, it's a marathon. There are going to be injuries, or there are going to be guys that start the year in Rockford and they play well and then they get called up and then they earn larger roles. And so, yeah, it's, although this is the baseline of the roster, that doesn't mean it's going to be changing over the course of the season. And I think one of the reasons why it's important to mention that is because I think there was a little bit surprise when Oliver Moore was not on the opening night roster, why wasn't he the call up instead of Ryan Green? And I've always said this, and I think we said it on the last show, but Oliver Moore, like if you told me, is Oliver Moore one of the best 12 forwards on the Blackhawks right now, I would probably say yes. But for me, I would rather that he go to Rockford, play first line minutes, play on the top power play versus breaking into the NHL right away this year. I know he had that small sample size last year, but he looked like he could use some more seasoning. And you don't want him to start the year in the NHL playing like third line minutes, playing on the second power play. Obviously, he would be playing penalty kill, but because Dickinson Mikheyev anchor that spot, Nazar and Teravainen is the second unit. Like you want him to make sure that he's getting a ton of minutes, and what better way to do that down in Rockford? And if he goes down to the Ice Hogs and he becomes a point per game player, similar to how Frank Nazar performed so strongly down there, where I think the original plan with Nazar last year was, oh, we'll call him up around like January or December at the earliest. And he was performing so well that it was like November, and they were like, we got to get this kid up here because he's playing so well down there.
They forced their hand.
Exactly. And so I think you're hoping that Oliver Moore can do the same thing. So I see both sides. Obviously the flip side is, wouldn't Chicago want to do the same with Ryan Green? But I think with Green, because he's a year older than Moore, as far as he went to college for a third year, so he's kind of more physically and like ahead of the developmental curve, you don't mind him spot starting every once in a while, like currently right now, just centering the fourth line with Foligno and Lafferty. And then he goes back down to Rockford and gets those, first or second line minutes. And so no surprise that the Blackhawks did that. And I kind of like the way that they handled things with Oliver Moore's. Do you agree, Jack? It's kind of the Hawks playing the long game.
Yeah, I'm always pro if they think he could benefit from Rockford, there's no reason to push it right now. But I think it's good to have young players earn their spots, and they had enough depth in the forward group to be able to do that. It did seem like he was forcing their hand a little bit with how he played, and especially in those first two games, and then he got to play in that last game. But if he can benefit from, like you're saying, he's going to play at the top of the lineup, he's going to be on the top power play, he's going to be first in all these situations. I think we were talking about that with Levshinov last year and Nazar as well. So I think that can benefit them, and they've had some really good success in the last few years sending guys to Rockford. And when you look at Alex Vlasic and then Frank Nazar last year, so if he can go down there and really force their hand to bring him up, I think that's only positive when you're looking at that. So I think Rockford is going to be a fun team to follow this year. I know we do our prospect reports and there's some guys scattered throughout the globe, but Rockford is going to have some talent, I think, this year. That'll be fun to keep track of.
No question. When I saw the Landon Slagget injury, by the way, I thought that might open the door for Lucas Reichel to get in the lineup. And it looks like he's going to be the 13th forward on Tuesday in the home opener against Florida, which indicates to me that he's going to have to stay ready for his opportunity, but I think it's also an indication of the Hawks wanting to see some of these other young players slide into these roles. And Jeff Blashill was in, he wanted to, the way he phrased it today is like he didn't want to be unfair to Reichel and put too much stock into what he did or didn't do last season. Like, he wants every player to have a clean slate when a new coach comes in. But I think organizationally, when the body of work is growing and is pretty large, you don't want a player to take up a certain spot. And so Reichel's likely going to start as the 13th forward, and we'll kind of see how that progresses. I want to talk about the back end. I was mentioning Matt Grizzlick. I'm going to peel back a story for you, Jack. I was flying on the team plane yesterday, and Grizzlick ended up getting on the plane, and he sat down in his seat. And Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno walked onto the plane, and as soon as he saw Grizzlick, he jumped into his arms, like Grizzlick sitting down in his aisle seat. And Foligno gave Grizzlick like the biggest hug and just like congratulations. And Grizzlick and Foligno were also teammates in Buffalo or in Boston for a couple years, so they've had they've already had a relationship together. But I think there were a lot of teammates, just kind of peeling back the curtain, there were a lot of teammates that were really happy for Grizzlick. And I think he's a really good character guy. Had 40 points last year with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit surprised that he was on a PTO. Like, I thought maybe he would get picked up elsewhere around the NHL. But the fact that he ended up getting a PTO with Chicago, he has a relationship with assistant coach Mike Vellucci, who obviously coached him last year in Pittsburgh. But I think there were a lot of teammates that were really excited for the veteran in Grizzlick to turn his PTO into a one-year contract at a $1 million cap hit. And Foligno led the way by giving him a big bear hug on the plane yesterday.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like something he would do. yeah, I remember when they signed him, I think I said something to you, like I was surprised that he's signing a PTO. Because I just knew the name from, I know Pittsburgh didn't have the year they wanted to last year, but I mean, he had a pretty good year for being on the blue line, getting 40 points, and now he comes in here, and I, like you said, to his credit, to credit to his character, he comes into a team that's still shifting its way and getting young guys and rebuilding and reloading, and he came in here and just put his head down and went to work and didn't have a spot guaranteed, and he went out there and was just steady, and that's something Jeff Blashill kept saying. He's like, I thought he like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I thought he was, they kept asking him about it. He's just saying, I thought he was solid today, and he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to do, and he made the team. So it'll be interesting to see how, when Vlasic comes back, what the D pairings look like and who are the odd two out if they keep carrying eight defensemen. But coming across was like, oh, he went out there and was able to earn it, and maybe some of the young guys didn't take the step they wanted, so that's why you bring in a veteran like that, just as that insurance policy, and hopefully he can help lead some of these young guys on the blue line.
100%. Even off the ice, I think his veteran presence is going to be crucial for this young Blackhawks team, and he's a guy that, you know, he might end up, you know, when Vlasic is healthy, he might be the, you know, the seventh or eighth defenseman on a nightly basis, but it's better that he's still around and can step in when, you know, the team is in a pinch like they were when Vlasic got injured. And then lastly, I think the one training camp battle that we were monitoring pretty closely was, we felt like the one of the final defenseman spots was going to come down to either Ethan Del Mastro or Nolan Allen. And even though Del Mastro had a little bit of a tough training camp, he still won out, and Allen gets sent to Rockford. And I just think with Del Mastro, I really like his body of work, and I don't know if, you know, two tough weeks where everyone's learning a new system, and you know, it's just there's a lot going on. Guys are sore because, you know, it was a really intense training camp, and so Del Mastro ended up winning the battle. And I just think because of his size, because he has more offensive upside, he's physical in front of the net. I just think with all of those things, I'm not surprised that he ended up winning out, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to see Nolan Allen at some point this year. I just think Del Mastro was like, okay, you get the first crack and show us you belong. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, I'm sure things are, you know, Nolan Allen could potentially get the call up at some point down the road.
Yeah, it seems like they have so many of those young guys on the blue line, so it might be a little bit of a shuttle between Chicago and Rockford, depending on their needs and how they perform. But that's something Kyle Davidson has really built, is that defensive depth for them, and now it's on the players that they've got in to kind of filter who's gonna make it with the main club now as we're getting into the season.
Right. All right. So that's the breakdown of the opening night roster from top to bottom. Looking forward to the season opener on Tuesday against Florida. We've got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. My interview with Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson is coming up next, right here on 720 WGN. We got a special guest with us, Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson. Kyle, we did this last year, did like a little mini season preview. So I thought we'd have you back on for a little get excited for this season. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Excited to get going.
How excited are you to get going? I know it's been an intense training camp. New head coach with Jeff Blashill. Just your early impressions of the intense camp that he put the guys through.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a great camp. I feel like the players are being put in the best position to succeed heading into the season. It was obviously a challenging one, but that's the way I think training camp should be, and love the level of detail to it, the intensity to it, and a lot of the teaching that was going on, which is, you know, important for any coaching staff getting going, but important for our group with so many young players.
Jeff, I think, he gave the guys a heads up that it was going to be an intense training camp from day one. How much did that, laying that groundwork early on with Jeff, with the players, where it's like, be ready to work, how does that lay the foundation for these young players moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's about setting a standard for what's expected heading into the year, and that starts on day one of training camp. And I thought Blash did a really good job being clear and definitive about that. And you know, it just, again, it sets the bar for where we want to be and where we expect our group to compete, and you know, where we need them to bring the intensity level and the work ethic every day. And so I thought it was a great start and a great level setter heading into the season.
Thoughts on how the preseason games went? I don't really look too much into the record because the rosters can be a little lopsided occasionally. Frank Nazar had 4 goals. Connor Bedard looked really good. Like, thoughts on just some of the impressions from those young guys?
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, some of these guys that are seeing their second and third training camps are really starting to look comfortable coming into the season, which is really exciting. Obviously, you mentioned Frank and Connor looking really good. And then, you know, I thought some of the young defensemen stepping in, you know, Wyatt Kaiser looks a little more seasoned, and Sam Renzel and Artie Levshinov, I thought, you know, had some really nice moments. But up and down the lineup, I think it was really encouraging. And you know, those players that we wanted to see a step from, it feels like we've seen it early on. Again, like, it's preseason, and take it with a grain of salt, but that's all we have to go on right now. And so we're encouraged by what we've seen, and excited to see what everyone does as we start playing the games that really count.
Frank Nazar last year, I think he finished, it was 9 points in his final 8 games, and then you saw what he did at the World Championships, led Team USA in points. For him to have the strong preseason that he did, kind of piggybacking where he left off last year, how excited are you as a general manager to see what he could do over the course of an 82-game season if he is the Frank Nazar version of what he finished with last season?
Yeah, and even before those points started going up on the board, we felt that what he was doing on the ice for much of his recall after his stint in Rockford, he just wasn't being rewarded for it. And at the end, he was. We were seeing the payoff of what he was actually doing on the ice being translated into points. But we felt that his play throughout his time in the NHL last year deserved more points than he actually got. And so we were excited to see, obviously, him carry that high high level of confidence and play into World Championships. And you saw the deliverable there. And then, you know, had a great summer and carried it through into training camp. And so, you know, we're really excited about where he's going. He's still a young player. He's going to experience, you know, some ups and downs that they all do. But we're very excited about where he's headed.
During exit interviews last year, Connor Bedard stepped to the mic and he said, "I want to change up my offseason program. I want to get faster." I thought it was a mature decision to skip the Worlds to make sure that he was focused and ready to go and it didn't interrupt his offseason training. There's only so much we could do about watching the tapes that were surfacing from Vancouver of him training, but to see it on the ice, he looks faster. He looks more confident. Do you guys see similarly, and what do you expect of Connor this year?
Yeah, I think we see it the same way. And going back to his decision not to go to Worlds and attack his offseason in a different manner than he had in the past and change some things up, we thought, you know, from my perspective, was, like you said, an extremely mature decision, someone that has a great handle on his own game and you know, his own self-assessment to feel, you know, he needed to do some things that you know, put him in a better situation to succeed going into his third year. And again, early returns are looking like he made a lot of very good decisions this summer, and he looks quicker. He looks you know, able to sustain the that explosiveness more throughout the course of a shift and through a game. And so I think that's only gonna benefit him and us you know, moving forward. But no, really, really excited for him to get going and to take that next step in his career.
How excited are you that Jeff Blashill is also going to have his fingerprints on his development? We know he worked a lot with the young players in Detroit and obviously with Tampa. They are loaded with skill. So are you looking forward to seeing what Connor could do under Jeff's tutelage?
Absolutely. Yeah. I you know, one of the things that makes me so excited about having Blash here is he's just, I think his experience and everything up to this point has made him uniquely qualified to excel with this group. You know, there's so many young players, and you know, I think the thing that he, as well as the rest of the coaching staff, are excited about is they're teachers, and they love to teach, you know, the game of hockey, but how to improve and how to get everyone to that next level. And I think that's exactly what our group needs, and they're receiving, and I think they're all going to benefit from being under, you know, Jeff and the other coaches' tutelage.
Yeah, mentioned Frank, mentioned Connor. Sam Renzello, to me, is it's really fun to watch him skate, and I think he's going to have a really good year where he's going to play himself into the Calder Trophy conversation. What are you expecting from Sam, given the responsibility that he had last year, how well he handled it, and now going into this year? Feels like the preseason he was logging 26 minutes a night and he didn't even look tired. So what are you expecting from Sam this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot to ask of a player that's only played 9 NHL games, but you know, his physical skill set with the skating tool is just, you know, I don't think I'm overselling it by saying it's elite. You know, he's an elite skater. It allows you to play heavy minutes. Now, there's a lot more to playing big minutes in the NHL outside of just being a good skater, but we feel like he's got all the capabilities to do that early in his career and be very effective at it. Again, young player, very early on in his level of experience, but you know, that doesn't mean that he's not going to see some difficult times throughout the year, because it is challenging and that schedule is unforgiving. But he's got so much talent and so much raw skill that, you know, we feel he's going to be very well positioned to have a really good year and an exciting career ahead of him.
Last one for you. The first couple years of the rebuild are always the hardest, where you're tearing down, you're drafting, you're waiting for the players to develop, you're monitoring them in junior, college, whatever. But to see some of these guys start to graduate to North America, to pros, and to the NHL, is it, I don't know if satisfying is the right word, but is it exciting that you're finally slowly starting to see things come together in front of our eyes?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I don't want to say satisfying, because satisfying would be succeeding your NHL team succeeding in the standings, and hopefully we continue to take positive steps in that direction. But it is, right? You go to the drafts and pick these players when they're so young, and in most cases, you know, save for a few, you have to wait, and you have to watch them in amateur hockey and watch them on the way up and develop, and the ups and downs of development, you know, where it looks great one night and it doesn't the next, and but you drafted them and you believe in them for a reason, and now seeing some of them break into the NHL is exciting, and you know, that's part of the process, and we can't forget to enjoy the process as you know, tough as it is at points. It's something that, you know, this is the path we've chosen, the path we've gone down, and the one that we're committed to. And to see these players starting to break into the NHL, it is, to some extent, a rewarding feeling. But I think the most exciting part is not only are they going to grow and improve, but there's so many more on the way. And so they're coming. They're coming as a group, and we're very excited about them. Lots of work and development ahead, but we're getting to an exciting point here where it feels like it's going to turn, and it's going to turn on the backs of all these players that we've invested draft capital in and developed to the point where they're starting to impact the NHL level.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this, Kyle, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich, putting a bow on our last Blackhawks live show of the season before the regular season starts tomorrow. That clip you just heard was Pat Boyle and I doing a podcast, the Blackhawks Breakaway podcast, earlier today. It's sponsored by Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. We were talking about Connor Bedard and what we expect out of him, our point totals. We're predicting our having some season predictions towards the end of the show, And Pat's up there with 88 to 89 points for Connor. I think I'm in that ballpark, Jack. If I'm looking at you know, what I'm projecting out of Connor this season, I think he's gonna hit the point per game mark this year. So scoring 82 points in 82 games. I know that his rookie year he had 61 points in 68 games, so he was trending in a 72-ish type pace. Last year was a little bit more of a down year for him, 67 points in 82 games. I think we could see, if we're going based off last year, I think a 15-point improvement isn't out of the realm of possibility. So for this season, I think Bedard puts up 82 points, and I'll say the way he gets it is 36 goals and 46 assists. I think the math works on that. Yes, it does. Just wanted to make sure that I'm doing that in real time. So yeah, I'm going to say 82 points is my prediction, Jack. How about you?
I think he's going to break out. I mean, I was watching those highlight videos on Twitter like everybody else. So I'm buying into the hype. He scored in the first preseason game. He's looked pretty good. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he hears all the Celebrini talk and all that, and it's going to use him. So I'll say 85. I don't know how to break that up. Maybe like 30 and 55 or something. 30 goals, 55 assists, something like that.
That's a good point, Jack, because it is an Olympic year too.
Right, that too.
And yeah, Bedard, he went to the Team Canada camp, and I imagine Team Canada is going to be picking their roster relatively early-ish. I can't remember when the deadline is, but it's... Like I thought I saw like around December is maybe when the initial rosters are announced. And so I think it's going to be important for Connor to want to get off to a really good start, not just because of the Olympic season. Now that I'm thinking about it as well, he's obviously looking for a new contract and wants to cash right in big. And there are obviously Kirill Kaprizov, the way that he like reset the market last week in the monstrous deal that he signed with the Minnesota Wild, just feels like it's trending more and more in the players' favor of wanting to get a bigger contract. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, new coach, Connor's playing first power play again. He looks faster. He looks stronger. Burakovsky hopefully will give him a lift as a guy that'll play on his left side. So I don't think it's a great, like, I know some odds makers have him at like 74 and a half ish points, but I think, man, I just think he's going to be in the 80s this year. It feels like in the NHL, these superstars, they have that 1 year where they just break out, where they, like Nathan MacKinnon, it took a while for him. I think it was like year five when he finally like had his really big first point total. But I wouldn't be surprised if Connor does it this year, where he's like, you know what? Okay, I'm faster, I'm stronger. He mentally looks like in a fantastic place. He's been, the vibes are high inside the locker room. And so I'm right there with you, Jack. 82 points. I got 82. You got 85. Pat's got 88, 89. We're trending in an upward direction among the three of us.
Yeah, that's what you want, right? I feel it too. I feel it too. I think this is the year, first year, a lot of expectations, and he's pretty much matching them. And then he gets hurt, and then last year was just kind of a struggle with all the chaos around. His coach gets fired, and then he's trying to figure everything out. So I think he like you said, he took the summer off from like going and playing, just working on his own thing and skating and working on his body and how he wants to be coming into the season. So I think it all comes together. And we know his work ethic. We know he put in the work, and he's got like that trait where he's not satisfied with really anything. Like we're going in the locker room after they lost on Friday, and he looked like he was pretty mad. So. Yeah. He's the ultra competitor, and I think he's going to use. I like that you brought up the contract, the Olympic team, and then the chatter. I think he's going to use that to motivate him going into this year.
Yeah, he did have quite a few stretches last year where he had. Can't remember that one stretch. I think it was like he went 10 or 11 games without scoring a goal, and it's just it doesn't feel like that's going to happen this year. He's going to put up points on a more consistent level, and then we also last season we didn't see Connor have those like 3 or 4 point games mm-hmm. where he just took you know a game over like a couple years ago a couple years ago when he had that big performance on the mom's trip. It was actually here in Tampa in Florida.
That's right,
when he had, I think it was 4 points against Tampa and then 2 points against Florida, and so we didn't really see that last year, but it feels like this year hopefully we get that version of Connor Bedard. Alright, Jack, I'm pumped. We get to catch up tomorrow. You're doing the pre and post game show. I'll be in Florida. Are you ready for it? I know it's going to be a longer pregame show because of the banner raising ceremony, but I'm pumped to get going here.
Yeah, I am too. We'll have fun. We'll figure it out together. I talked to talked to the boss man Andy. We got a good plan in place. So I mean, it's the opening night. There's a lot to talk about. There's all these different storylines. We could even get into, you know, Connor McDavid's contract. It's the start of the season. The very first game of the NHL season. So it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it, and we're going to have fun this year.
I love it. Looking forward to catching up tomorrow and chatting through the pregame. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Thank you for being with us. Our next show is Tuesday, October 14th. At 7 p.m., we will talk to you then.